Today's gospel ends with the church's morning prayer called the Benedictus, whereby Zachary blesses our Lord for the coming Savior. He says in the next verse, "He, mindful of his mercy, has raised up a mighty salvation for us in the house of David, his servant. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It shouldn't surprise us that it always starts with the family. God's plan for salvation began with one home here on earth, Eden, so that man might share one day God's home in heaven. When our first parents sinned, God came up with a second plan of reparation for the first family's failure there in the Garden of Eden. And that is read about in the Holy Gospel today and in the tradition of the church. It always starts with a family in a home, or more specifically, a couple who could not conceive a child. And they prayed the Lord to bless them with a family. Thus did Our Lady Immaculate come into the world, daughter in their old age to Joachim and Anna. Thus was born John the Baptist, today's saint, greatest of those that are born of women. Luke's gospel begins with the tale of old Zachary in the temple. Remember, the temple is God's home. But the focal point of this whole story is a family which is rejoicing that this little baby with the curious name of John is born. For with his birth comes hope, the hope of a mighty salvation which he would grow up to bring to all of his people. Talking about his cousin, you can't get away from family in God's plan. His cousin who is our Savior, the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Home is so important in the language of angels and of men. The triune God, from his home in heaven, comes down upon earth to make three homes for himself in a heart. In our own heart, by sanctifying grace, God's life in us, and in the heart of our church, which is the tabernacle, which contains the blessed sacrament, God himself. And then, too, in the heart of any family's home, which is love. Our Lord shares his friendship with such a family. It shouldn't surprise us that when God became a man, he founded, first of all, not a church, but a family, the home of the Holy Family, Nazareth. Our Lord's first act, and that of his cousin before him, was to make atonement for the failure of that first family of our first parents way back in Eden. And that is why this little child, they say, toddled off into the desert. A total teetotaler would never drink hard liquor or beer, and wearing camel skin and eating grasshoppers. A penitential life to prepare himself to be the last of the prophets, to bring his cousin's knowledge into the heart of every family throughout the world. And that is why our Lord, when he came to be born, allowed his dear parents to wander around Bethlehem on Christmas Eve, refused any lodging. That is why he permitted himself to be excluded from every home there in Bethlehem, except for the home of the animals. The brute beasts gave him welcome in Bethlehem. And that is why a baby of only 40 days, again in atonement, he allowed himself to be forced into exile, far from home and country, in his native land and language. And this is why, when our Lord finally got back with his parents to Nazareth, he fashioned that house into the ideal home. He himself was enthroned as king there, the center of the life of Mary and of Joseph. In fact, every outpouring of grace in God's plan always takes place in a home. So the gospel opens in the home of Zachary and Our Lady born in the home of Joachim, and then there's the borrowed house of Bethlehem, Nazareth. The story does not end there. The first Mass was offered, and ordination first conferred. The Holy Ghost came in the borrowed dining room of some family. They say it was the family maybe of St. Mark. The cenacle. The scene again of incredible graces. So you see, before Peter, the fisherman, became head of the church, Joseph, the carpenter, was head of the home God chose on earth, for the Holy Family in Nazareth. This is an enduring lesson of the grandeur, of the importance, of the family, of the home. It has to be, then, more than just a place for a quick pit stop, crash for the night, grab a bite to eat, change your clothes, and you're on your way again. No, no. Think, God found nothing better for his son to do for 30 of his 33 short, precious years on earth than to live the life of a family. And see that Son of God in the whole of his earthly life, now in public, those 3 years, giving such an example of the value of marriage in God's eyes, stressing its sacred character, his love for family life in the home, how he raised marriage to a sacrament, probably at Cana's wedding feast, the site too of his first miracle at Mary's prayer. How our Lord restored the indissolubility of the married state. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Our Lord loved to spend time with families. They had all of his sympathy and his interest and his affection. Most of the apostles were married men. Our Lord spent time with Saint Peter and healed his mother-in-law, who was sick of a fever. Our Lord asked to stay in the house with the family of Zacchaeus, and he always felt safe with Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha, there at Bethany, outside of Jerusalem. And whenever our Lord was invited into a home, he rewarded the family by working some kind of a miracle of the moral or the physical order. He left the sign of his presence because he had been there. So important is the home in God's plan. So great is his love for families that it shouldn't surprise us that at the end, when our Lord says, when the Son of Man comes back and he won't find faith anymore upon the earth, at the end, there won't be any more churches there will only be families, individual families, with the faith. Remember the great French cardinal of the 19th century, Cardinal P, said, the church will be reduced to domestic proportions. As it was in the beginning, so will it be finally at the very end. Therefore, it shouldn't surprise us that the enemy today, in order to destroy the Catholic Church, the only bastion of liberty and of truth in this world, focuses on the family. Father Matteo, the great Sacred Heart priest, reported, this was in France, maybe at the end of the 19th, beginning of the 20th century, he reported having once converted a man who was a Freemason. And this man became very enthusiastic for the Sacred Heart enthronement. And he confided to the priest one day, he said, you know, Father, when I belonged to my lodge, we were instructed to leave the churches and the cathedrals to the priests and to the nuns, and to concentrate on de-Christianizing the home. Because this was the only way, they said, to defeat the Catholic Church. You've got to destroy the home. My dear friends, is the church being defeated in your home? Your home, is it being destroyed? Then God's home is being destroyed too, along with it. Is there any way to stop the destruction? In the aftermath of the great apostasy, which was the French Revolution, Napoleon arose, an emperor. He invaded most of Europe in his time. And it is said that once, when his troops were laying waste to a particular city, which had stubbornly resisted his terms for peace and had fought a long time with him and hard, that one house only in that whole city was spared because one of the generals of Napoleon happened to notice Napoleon's picture that somebody had tacked over the door. And that house was spared. It shouldn't surprise us that a far greater king than Napoleon has made the gracious promise, for the sake of our families, I will bless every place where a picture of my heart is set up and honored. By means of his heart, this great king of love not only spares us the punishment due to our stubborn rebellion, and how long have we waged war against him and resisted his terms for peace, but he will reign. He will reign and conquer the world, this king of merciful love. He who rules the home rules society. It should not surprise us. God knows this. This is his plan from all eternity. You see it in time. Eden, the little house in the hills of Galilee, Ain Karim, where Zachary's son John was born. Nazareth, all the way down to your house today. The devil knows this, and so do the secret societies and the very public media moguls who have such power, perhaps by means of a dial or two, in your home. But what is surprising is that we consistently forget it. Thank God for Jesus, our King, that he has never ceased to be mindful of his mercy, and that he has raised up a mighty salvation for us in a home, in the house of David, his servant. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.